Numbers chapter 35, verses 6 and then 9 to 29. Verses 6 and 9 to 29. Mercy and justice, or righteousness and mercy. Mercy, justice, righteousness, the link together. Reminds me of Psalm 85 and verse 10. Righteousness, truth, peace. These things are, they kiss each other. They're linked in the mercy of God, in the kindness of God, in the scheme of God. Righteousness and mercy, mercy and justice. What am I talking about? Well, remember this section in Numbers 35 is dealing with the Hebrews and their settlement in the land. And you remember that God has established for them a law. These are your legal, these are the legal requirements for you, verse 29, for you throughout the generations to come, wherever you live. This God was laying down his covenant. He was laying down the stipulations, the terms, the ordinances for Israel in the covenant, and especially over this question of murder and manslaughter. And we've looked at this. There had to be a proper punishment of the offender. There had to be a proper support for the victim and the victim's families and so on, and a justification of all these things. But it just couldn't be haphazard and all over the place. It had to be done by due inspection and trial. Remember, this is old covenant throughout here. We must remember the distinction in the covenants. We don't live in these days. These are not our terms. These were the terms for Israel in the old covenant, and they were fulfilled and rendered obsolete by Christ. But the principle, the understanding behind them, the God of this covenant, is still the same God. But we're in the new covenant now, and there's a discontinuity between those covenants, even though there is a continuity. I know it's not easy to comprehend, but we have to wrestle with these things. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the New Testament makes this very clear. The letter to the Hebrews couldn't be clearer on it. Galatians is very clear. Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, and so on. It's very clear, all these things. But of course there are complications, but we have to, the biggest complication is to misapply the two covenants and mongrel them together and mingle them together, and then we end up in real difficulties, as the church has and religion has down the centuries. Well now, why do I say mercy here? Well, if you look at these verses, verses 6 and 9 to 29, it's all about the towns of refuge, the six refuge towns. They all had to be Levite towns. That seems to be significant. And they were spread throughout the land of Israel, whether the East Bank or the West Bank. It didn't matter. They had to be spread. And so these towns were well known and they were placed. What were they for? Well, when murder was committed or manslaughter, whatever it is, if a man felt that he had a case to make, and he could make a case, if he could get to one of these cities of refuge and stay there under the certain terms, it's all spelled out here in the Old Covenant, as long as the high priest is alive and so on, he mustn't leave the city. He must be protected by the Levites there in that city until his proper judgment can be made, until the case is brought before the proper law courts. Of course, if he has committed willfully and everything else, then he must pay the price for that. But this is meant to be a place of mercy. The roads have to be kept up, the signposts have to be made clear and so on. And it's all designed so that fairness and protection will come for the offender, yes, but the victim is not forgotten. See, it's a wonderful balance. Now, there's an awful lot of claptrap talked by opponents of the gospel. I'm reading Christopher Hitchens at the moment, and he talks about the Old Covenant in foolish terms because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand the distinction in the covenants, and he doesn't understand the place of the covenants in covenant history. And you see, he doesn't see what's going on. He picks up the certain elements of the covenant which he finds offensive, but he doesn't know about the mercy involved in the covenant, the kindness of God, these cities of refuge where the people could go and be safe. It meant dignity for the people, and it was an ordinance of God. It placed value on the life. This was the law of God for his people in those days. Righteousness, yes. Justice, yes. There's no balking of it. Justice, yes. Righteousness, yes. But there's mercy at the heart of this covenant. Even in all these terms of law, you can imagine what the New Testament is going to make of this, to speak of the mercy we find in the gospel. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If the law was this kind, if the law was this generous to the offender and so on, if everything had to be done properly and above board with due care and so on, and there's mercy in the middle of it all, then you can imagine the mercy that there is in the gospel. And think of the alternatives. You think of the alternatives of living in a pagan society, the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Egyptians or whatever, the Philistines. Imagine what it must have been like living among them, the Canaanites, you know, with child sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine it? No wonder men like David could cry, "Oh, how I love thy law." No wonder they loved thee. Even the old covenant law, what they rejoiced in, the dignity it placed upon them, the mercy in it, the justice in it. Blessed be the name of God for that covenant. I'm glad I don't live under it. I'm glad I'm in the gospel. I'm glad I live in the day when I'm not under Moses, but under Christ. I'm glad that we've passed from that shadowy covenant into the reality. But looking back, these opponents of the gospel, these atheistical men, often talk a load of claptrap and hot air about all this. They don't understand the covenants. But blessed be God for the new covenant, the gospel. I praise God that I'm not here to be a legal preacher, but a gospel preacher, not offering sinners a refuge for murder and manslaughter, but far greater material than that, much more important stuff. What am I talking about? Everlasting salvation from everlasting damnation. Think of that, the privilege of a poor mortal speaking of the way of salvation, that some poor sinner might hear it, even this morning, even now as I speak, some poor sinner might hear this and realize that if there was such mercy in the old covenant, such justice, such care God showed, what care would he show now in Jesus Christ? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. As I say, let me quote it again. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, taste and see how gracious, how true, how merciful, how loving God can be in Christ. Blessed be his name. Amen.